From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This. From Boston, where in a couple of weeks, every adult over the age of 16 in the state will be eligible to sign up for the coronavirus vaccine. At a press conference Wednesday morning, Governor Charlie Baker laid out that timeline. Here with more about this is WBUR Senior State House reporter Steve Brown. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Arun.
It's great to have you fresh from the press conference. So last week, President Biden directed states to make the vaccine available to all adults over the age of 16 by May. And I don't know if Governor Baker took note of that, but what more did we learn this morning about who will be eligible and when?
Well, there are only three dates that you really have to be concerned with. So get ready to mark your calendar. Starting this coming Monday, March 22nd, everyone 60 years or older will be eligible. Also, qualified essential workers, grocery store employees, transit and the like, they're all eligible. Now, that's March 22nd, next Monday. 2 weeks later, Monday, April 5th, it'll be open to people 55 years of age or older, as well as anyone who has just one qualified medical condition. And finally, 2 weeks after that, on April 19th, which the governor pointed out is Patriots Day here in Massachusetts, everyone is eligible to be vaccinated regardless of age, job, or medical condition.
Now, Massachusetts had, as we all know, kind of a bumpy rollout of the vaccine. The scheduling site crashed on the first day for people age 65 and older when they were allowed to get vaccinated. How is the Baker administration planning to make this system more reliable before another big influx of people become eligible next week?
Sure, they're encouraging people to use that pre-registration system that was put into effect just last week. It's taken off some of the pressure off of the website, and so far that seems to be working pretty well. The governor also seemed to be encouraged by a conference call that he and the other governors took part in yesterday with the feds about vaccine supply. Vaccine production is being ramped up, and he seems confident that soon enough everyone who wants a vaccine in Massachusetts will get one.
And it has been less bumpy right now. The state is vaccinating over 20,000 people each day, but that supply of doses is kind of low. With a lot of people going in for shot number two, the supply is going to go down even further. Do we know when we're going to get more doses?
Yeah, it's starting to increase now, although the governor is still asking people for patience, saying it's going to take some time for all the vaccine to arrive. This week, the feds told the state that we'll be getting 316,000 total doses, including 170,000 first doses. Now, that's about 35,000 more first doses than just last week. The governor said he was surprised that the feds said that they're shipping 8,000 more single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccines. Now, remember, just a couple of weeks ago, the feds told the states not to expect any more J&J doses this month.
And Steve, finally, we got to ask about something that we've all been tracking as we've been talking about the rollout. That's equity. A lot of people have come out this year saying the state's rollout isn't reaching the people who have been most affected by the virus. Are there any safeguards in place going forward to ensure that those who are getting these vaccine appointments aren't just the people with the time, the technical ability, and the means to do so?
Sure. The state is trying to provide some more financial support to municipalities and community health centers to connect with those hard-to-reach communities. Secretary of Health and Human Services Mary Lou Sutters said the state received $27.4 million grant from the CDC. $4.7 million of that is going to go directly to municipalities and local boards of health in 20 communities. They can use that to set up more vaccine clinics. Another $4 million will go to outreach and education, and $10.6 million to fund direct services such as appointment registration assistance, transportation to vaccine clinics, mobility assistance, medical interpretation, or whatever is needed to be delivered by community-based organizations.
Steve, I know it's been a very busy day covering this. Thanks so much for bringing the reporting. We appreciate it.
That's quite all right, Arun. My pleasure.
That's WBUR Senior State House reporter Steve Brown. Before I go, I should tell you what else is up in Boston. We have an update on a story we brought to you last year. State Attorney General Maura Healey is suing a Lynn landlord for allegedly threatening immigrant tenants with deportation. This all started last summer when Robelio Gonzalez complained to his landlord, Shi Ling Wang, about unsafe conditions, leaks, a lack of hot water, and bugs. According to Healy's complaint, Wang physically and verbally intimidated Gonzalez and his family and tried to force them out, even though state and federal bans on evictions during the pandemic were in place. Then, a few weeks later, ICE agents showed up to question Gonzalez.
This has been part of a pattern in practice, which, you know, is a violation of our state's civil rights laws, as well as our state's fair housing and consumer protection laws.
Healy says Wang's retaliation is illegal. Wang denies the allegations. Meantime, three Boston city councilors are asking the city to divest its money from tobacco, fossil fuel, and private prison companies.
This is not uncommon for cities, municipalities, large institutions to say, you know, our retirement funds, which is our biggest investment, will not go towards oppression of other people or degradation of our environment.
That's city councilor Lydia Edwards. She says doing so is a moral issue, comparing her request to former Mayor Ray Flynn pulling Boston's investments out of apartheid-era South Africa in the 1980s. Edwards says divesting from fossil fuels also makes financial sense, given the way the green energy sector is growing. And you know what else is growing? The number of people who have added their responses to our survey. If you haven't done that yet, it's a great time to do it. We're trying to make sure this podcast is working as well as it possibly can for you, our listeners. One of you told us about how Consider This helps you feel confident when talking about the news. Friends, that's the kind of feedback that just makes my day. We want to keep giving you that confidence and help shine a light on what's going on in our communities. If you haven't submitted any comments just yet, don't worry. You can head over to wbur.org/survey to give us your feedback. That's wbur.org/survey. And thank you. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since podcasts and useful information, I'm Arun Roth. We'll be back with more useful information tomorrow. And speaking of podcasts, here's a couple more you might enjoy. From the producers of GBH's Antiques Roadshow, Detours is a podcast about what happens to all those antiques after the cameras leave town. Plus, All Revved Up. Join hosts and reverends Irene Monroe and Emmett Price as they explore the intersection of faith, politics, and culture. New episodes of All Revved Up drop every other Wednesday. Subscribe to both wherever you get your podcasts.